Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara and Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Tes. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Gedalia Bookbinder, Harav Rufal Gedaliahu Zev, then Harav Yaakov Tuvia. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. In addition, we continue to learn for the safety and the success of all Tzahal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim. They should be without any injuries. Be'ezra Sashem. There should be peace on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara, 12 lines on the top of Tzadi Tes of an Aleph with the words Toshma. In yesterday's shiur, we brought down the sheet of Rav Asi, who said that a uman, a artisan, is not going to be chayav for the item that he went and built. So let's say he got wood, and he built it into a shida table of a migdal, so he only has to pay if he breaks it for the wood. He doesn't have to pay for the actual making it into the Shita Teva and Migdol, because we said that Uman is Kone Shvach Kli, and therefore it is his, and it's not considered the person who gave him the wood, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay other than for the value of the wood if he broke it. Now, we're trying to bring a riot to that for the following Brisa, Toshma. The Brisa teaches us, Hanosein Talisol Yuman, if a person gives over his garment, the talis doesn't literally mean like we have a talis gadol, it means a garment. So he brings over and gives his garment to an uman, to a professional, and gemaro the hodio. So whatever this professional needed to do, he did to this garment, he finished it gemaro, and then he let the owner know that you can come and go get your garment, pick it up. So, afilu mikan viadasar yom, even if the owner takes a long time to go get it, it takes him even 10 days. This is, again, not a specific number. It means he didn't come and pick it up for a while. Ain over alov mishum lo solin. He's not over the prohibition against not paying somebody. If you hire somebody, you have to pay them right away, that very day. If you hire them during the day, you have to pay them before nightfall. If you hire them during the night, you have to pay them before the daybreak. So, in this situation, you're not over lo solin pulas sochir ad boker, because the uman, we want to suggest, owns this item. He got the shvach kli, and therefore he's not considered like a worker, but he's considered like he's an owner, and now he's selling it back to the original owner, and he will get paid more than it was originally worth because of the extra professional stuff that he did to this garment. So therefore, there is no aveira of lo solin pulas sochir ad boker. However, if this professional did go give it back to the person who owned this garment, so then there is an obligation to pay him by the end of the day. And kivon sheshaka olav hachama, and if it's nightfall, so then over lo mishum bal tolin, then you're over lo solin pulas sochir ad boker. Now, if you're going to tell me that the uman was koneh, so then am I over mishum bal tolin? So then, wait a second. Rav Asi seems to have a problem with this brisa. I think I may have said before that this would be a riot to Rav Asi. It's clearly a question on Rav Asi, because according to Rav Asi, the uman was koneh b'shvach kli, and therefore there is no din over here of withholding his wages, because he is considered like an owner of it, and now when he gives it back to the original owner of the item, it's as if he's selling it to him at the increased price. But in this brisa, it says that once he returns it to him, he better be paid by the end of that period. So if he gave it back to him in the middle of the day, he better be paid by the time nightfall comes, otherwise he'll be over lo solin pulas sochir ad boker. So this is a kashan Rav Asi. So I'm a Rav Mori, bread the Rav Kahana. So Rav Mori, who is the son of Rav Kahana, says no, because he wasn't really koneh b'shvach kli. He was just begardo disarbala. He, this artisan, this professional, had just gone and done gardo disarbala. What is that? So Rashi tells us a foreign language word, flokir, which Lazi Rashi tells us, meaning pirush lusrok. He had just combed it out. And therefore, that wasn't really a koneh of the shvach, because the leko shivcha, it's improved, but it doesn't really have a shvach. So therefore, you don't say over here that uman is kone b'shvach kli. There really is no shvach, and therefore he's just a person who did work, and he has to be paid by the end of that time period. Where it says, wait a second, so self, l'may yavo nili. So, wait a second, the person gave it to him to go and comb it out. So, l'rakuche, to go and soften it up, to go and comb it out. And therefore, whatever value it has now, kivon d'rachiche, he softened it up, hayu shivcha, that is the shevach. So again, we return the question, this brisa seems to go against Rav Asi. So where it says, no, Lotzricha the agre lebitche. No, in this situation, he was actually given, Rashi explains, the agre lebitche means lebatushe, Rashi says, which again, he gives a foreign language word, which means pu'ulos hakobes. This is something to do with the workings of improving this garment, and uscharo ludarcha, he paid him to go and press it. The his nemo, and he arranged with him, skum hadrichos called Dricha b'ma. Every time he would press it, so he would go get paid a ma. So each time he pressed it, he was paid a ma. And therefore, he is a schir yomhu. He is like a person who was hired for the day. Not a kablon, the low kablon, the liknei b'shvacha, that would go and acquire the shevach over here. So therefore, this has nothing to do with Ravasi. And the final answer that we're saying for the Brisa is that he was a schir. He was a person hired to do a certain amount of work. And therefore, you have to pay him before the end of that period of time. If it was a day worker, you have to pay him before nightfall. Now the Gemara says, but according to the opinion that we just had a minute ago, when they gave it to him to soften it up, ulamai desolik adaitin meikara, that which we thought originally that he was giving him to soften up, the lo agri libitche, and it wasn't for the purposes of pressing it, so then that should be a raya mesaila of sheshes. Let us suggest that's a raya to sheshes, which again, we'll see in a moment, we're going to suggest maybe that goes against Ravasi, because the Barmine Rishashis, the answer Rishashis, kablonus. If a person is a kablon, how do we define a kablon? So Rashi in Bava Metzia tells us, Oson Shekibel Olav Lasos Malach. It's a person that said, I will do a certain malacha for you, Bekach Lekach, it's going to be $100, a certain amount, Velo Lisrius Yomim, but not set by the time. He said, I will complete this job for you, and however long it takes me to do it, short or long, so then I will get paid X amount of dollars. So they asked for Sheshes in a Kablono situation, which we're now suggesting that this Rachache that we talked about is a kablonis situation, over a lov mishun bal tolin, o eno over. Is that considered a kablonis that it's lo solin pula sachar ad boker or not? And Amalur of Sheshis from Aishis responded and he said, over, yeah, that is considered a person who's being paid that you can't go and delay the payment to him. So the Gemara says, okay, does that mean the Rav Sheshis argues with the Vasi? Lame the Rav Sheshis pleaded with the Vasi. So therefore it seems, on a very simplistic basis, the Rav Sheshis is arguing with Ravasi. Ravasi says that the Uman is kona bishvach kli, but Rav Sheshis certainly doesn't seem to suggest that. He seems to suggest, no, you're over lo solim plu esach, which means that you're not kona bishvach kli. So Amar Shmuel Baracha, Shmuel, who is the son of Acha, said, bishlicha de igrita. We're dealing over here, not with a person that was doing something like kablonus that we explained as the rachache, but it was doing the type of kablonus that he said, go and deliver this letter for me. Be a mail carrier for me. So go and take this package from point A and bring it to point B. And he took a flat fee for that. And that's what Rav Sheshis was saying in that situation, you're over lo solin pula socher at boker, but lav davka, that has anything to do with shvach kli and Rav Asi's point of view. Fine. The Gemara now wants to suggest, however, lema kitanoi. Maybe this statement, the Ravasi, that Uman is kone shvach kli, is actually a machlokis tanoi. Because we learned in the following braisa, aseli sheirim nizomin vitabos. If a woman says to a artisan, she goes to this person who's making jewelry, and she says to him, go make for me a sheirim, which is an ankle bracelet, or nizomim, which is earrings, or tabos, which are regular rings. So in this situation, she gave him the material and told him to go and fashion these types of jewelry for her. And she said, v'akadei shlucha, and when you do this, I won't pay you, but your work over here will be the kesef kiddushin that you'll become, you'll give to me, and I'll become your wife. So we have the opinion of the Tanakhama Rav Meir, Kivan Shason Mikudeshes. As soon as he goes and makes this Sheirim Nizomin or Tabos for her, so this woman now is Mikudeshes. The man says to her, I'm Mikadish you with the making of this Sheirim Nizomin or Tabos, and the woman is Mikudeshes, the Rav Meir. Whereas the Chachamim hold, the Chachamim ain't Mikudeshes, Ach Yagia Mamun Liyoda. He says, no, this will not do it. And he has to give her money, kesef kiddush. Now, what's the case? My mom, what are we talking about? If you're going to tell me, Ilema oso mamon, that in fact, the artisan over here has to give the woman the actual pieces of jewelry, and that will be Makadisher. Is that what the Chacham mean by the money? That implies Bechlal the Rav Meir Savar Osamam Lo, that just his making the Sheirim, Nizamim, and Tabos without giving it to her would be adequate to be Makadisher. Really? El Bamai Makadisher. Then how does he Makadisher if she didn't get anything? So therefore, Elipshita, my mamon, it means mamon acher. It means, according to Chachamim, the work that he did cannot be Makadisher. But according to Rameya, the work that he did, once he gives it to her, can be Makadisher. Now, why is that? Isn't it based upon exactly this machlokes? The Savru and the Beis Medrash, they wanted to suggest the Kuliyama Yesh no luschiris mitzil v'yasov. They said over here, everybody agrees that when the worker started doing the jewelry, so he gets paid piecemeal, so to say. He earns the first knock that he does on the jewelry, so that gives him a penny. Then he does another thing, that gives him another penny, another penny, another penny. Each action that he does gives him a little bit of the schiris, a little bit of the wages, and then when he finishes it and he gives it to her, then he's actually allowed to collect it. But he actually earned, this is called yesh no luschiris mitzil v'yasov. He actually earns a little bit at every moment in time. And in fact, that's the opinion of both Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Now, Udukuli Alma Hamakadish Bemulva in a Mukadeshis. And everybody agrees, both the Chachamim and Rav Meir agree, that you can't be Makadish woman with a loan. So let's say you had loaned a woman $100. So she owes you $100. And you go to tell her, I'll be Makadish you by you not having to pay me back. So that is a milva that you cannot be Makadish a woman with, according to everybody. Dukuli Alma, a Makadish milva and a Mukadeshis. Right now we're saying that both Rav Meir and the Chacham say you couldn't be Makadish the woman with this loan. So if this woman owes you money, in fact, because she gave you the jewelry to go and make her, she gave you the raw materials to go make the Sheirim, the Nizamim, and the Tabos, and you say, so every second that you did something, she owes you money, so it's really a milva. And if they both agree that you can't be Makadish with a milva, so then what is the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Meir? So my lab, the Gemara once says, yes, it's exactly Rav Asi's ruling. My lab, bu'umon kone bishvach kli kumifligi. They're arguing about do they or do they not hold from the shita of Rav Asi. The Rav Meir sovar umon kone bishvach kli. Rav Meir says that this person acquires the Sheirim, the Nizamim, the Tabos. She gave him the raw materials, and when he made it into this anklet or this earrings or this finger ring, so he acquires it. And now, when he gives it back to her, so he's not Makadish with a milva, and it's not a question of Yeshon and Slius Mithil Veso. He acquired it, like Rav Asi said, and therefore he's Makadish with this item. Whereas the Chacham hold, Rabbanon Sabre, Eino Makom Mishlach Kli. No, you don't acquire it, and therefore it's like a milva, because we hold yesh neschiris mitchil of yatzov, and therefore you can't be mekadesh with a milva. This is a milva, and therefore ain't a mekudeshes. So we want to suggest that Rav Asi holds like Rav Meir, and the Chacham hold the opinion that not like Rav Meir, not like Rav Asi. Rav says no, that's the incorrect way to understand this law. In fact, the Kuliyama ainu mekom mishrachli. We're getting several different possible ways to reconcile this. That it's not a machlokes tanoim as to Rav Asi's din. So the first way we reconcile it is as follows: that in fact, nobody holds. Ein uman kone b'shvachli. Neither the Chachamim nor Rabbi Meir hold like Rav Asi. Nobody holds like Rav Asi in this situation. What are they arguing about then? Elo hacha b'yesh no l'schirus mitchilo v'yatzol kumitli. They're arguing about that point, which before we said was the Kuliyama, but no, that's exactly what they're arguing about. In fact, Rabbi Meir sabar ein l'schirus elo b'sof. Rav Meir says that no, every time the artisan starts doing a little bit of the fashioning or the anklet or the earring or the finger ring, so he gets a little bit of schar. No, he says, no, you only get the wages when you finish it. And therefore, it's not a milva. And if it's not a milva, so then you can be Makadisher. However, it's the Rabbanan who savre, they hold yesh l'schiris mitchilo v'yatzof. And therefore, it is a milva, because you're entitled to get a little bit of the wages each time you do something. So when it's all done, it's a loan, and you can't be Makadish with a loan. And that's, in fact, the machlokis between the Chachamim and Rav Meir. It has nothing to do with Rav Asi's din of umen kone b'shvach kli. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, v'bayi seima, in fact, the kuliyama yesh l'n l'sirus mitchilu v'yatzof. In fact, everybody, both Chacham and Rav Meir, do hold yesh l'n l'sirus mitchilu v'yatzof. And in fact, they're arguing then, v'ochem mekadesh milva k'milvli, and they're arguing about, can you be mekadesh with a milva? This is a milva, but Rav Meir sofer mekadesh a milva mekudeshes. If a person is using a milva to be mekadesh a woman, she in fact is mekudeshes. And the Rabbanan sofer mekadesh milva and mekudeshes. And that's what they're arguing about. That's teretz number two. Again, has nothing to do with Rav Asi. We turn to Tzadi Tes on the base. Rava gives us the third teretz. Rava Amar, Dukuli Amo Yeshlin Lischiris Mitchilu Vatsof. In fact, both the Chacham and Rebbe hold there is this concept of Yeshlin and Lischiris Mitchilu Vatsof, that every time the artisan does a little bit of work on the anklet, on the earrings or the finger rings, so the woman, in fact, is obligated to pay him a little bit of money. So it is a milva. And in fact, Dukuli Amo Mekadesh Milva Enu Kadeshes. And they both hold that you can't be Mekadesh of the milva. And in fact, Dukuli Amo Enu Man Kod Mishlachli. And none of them hold like Ravasi. So then what are they arguing about then? What Rav Meir and the Chacham are arguing about is Kigon Shahosiflo Nofech Mishalo. This jeweler, this artisan who was making the anklet or the earrings or the finger rings, so he added on, let's say made a finger ring for her, he added on some sort of a diamond, he added on some sort of a nofech. A nofech is some sort of a precious gem. So he added that. So there was a milva over here. The amount of work that he had done is a milva, and there is this additional pruta, or shava pruta, this nofech that he added on. So Rebbei Savar, milva, pruta, when there was the milva over here, and there was the pruta that he's mekadesh with, well, he can't be mekadesh with a milva, but he did give her a pruta, so what's on the mind of the woman? So daita pruta. So she is intending to be mekadesh with the pruta, and that's perfectly good. The fact that there's also a milva doesn't ruin it. That's Rebbei's opinion. The Rabbanon, they disagree. Sabre, the Rabbanon hold milva upruta. When he gives her the milva, which is much, let's say, more than the nofech, than this only shava pruta, this smaller amount, daita milva. She thinks she's being mekudesh with the milva. That's the larger value. And therefore, she's not mekudesh because she can't be mekadesh with the milva. So that's what Rabbah says is the explanation between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Again, it has nothing to do with Rav Asi. And this machlokes, according to Rabbah, ubepluksa dahani tenoi. The Tanya. This machlokes of Rav Meir and the Chachamim parallels another machlokes tanoim that we have in the following brisa. The brisa tells us b'sachar shasisi imach. If a artisan goes to be mekadesh a woman, this jeweler goes to be mekadesh a woman, he says to her, with all the work that I did on the raw materials that you gave me, I want you to be mekudeshes to me. So the Tanakama holds ain't a mekudeshes. But if he were to say before he does the work b'sachar shasisi imach, I want to be mekadesh you with the work that I will do for you, mekudeshes. The Tanakama holds that she is mekudeshes. So we'll see. The Tanakama holds yesh l'schirus only besof, and therefore it's not a milva. So that's why the Tanakama says that this is a good kiddushin. However, Rabbi Nosson Omer, no, it's not a good kiddushin because he holds yesh l'schirus mitchila v'atzof, and therefore every second that he does work for her, it becomes a milva, and therefore you can't be mekadesh the milva. So Rabbi Nosson Omer, b'schar she'esimach, even if he says, in the work that I will do for you, ain't a mekudeshes, she's not mekudeshes, because he holds, yesh l'schirus mitchila v'atzof, as opposed to the Tanakama who says, only yesh l'schirus l'besof. And therefore they're arguing about, is this a milva or not? So you can't be mekadeshes the milva, but the Tanakama says, it's not a milva, whereas Rabbi Nosson says, it is a milva. And certainly, if Rav Nosson says, B'schar she'esimach is no good, ain't a mekudeshes, certainly, v'kol she'kein, B'schar she'osisimach, that's no good. But that everybody agrees. The Tanakhama says that's no good as well. Then we have a third opinion in the Braisa. Rebbe. Rav Yehuda Nasi Omer, Rebbe says, B'emes Amru. B'emes Amru, we said, is a lashon of halacha l'moshe v'sinai, or this is, in fact, the accepted halacha. So he says, B'emes Amru, Rebbe holds, Bein B'schar she'osisimach, u'bein B'schar she'esimach, whether he said, like Rabbi Nosson, whether it's the schar that I did do, and even if it's the schar that I say I will do, ain't a mekudeshes. But as opposed to Rabbi Nosson, who says that if you go and add a nofech, Rabbi Nosson says it still wouldn't be good, because Rabbi Nosson holds that if you're daita a milva and a pruta, the daita, according to Rabbi Nosson, is on the milva. But Rabbi holds v'im hosif nofech mishlo mekudeshes, because Rabbi holds her daita is on the pruta. So therefore, milva and a pruta, according to Rabbi, is mekudeshes, but according to Rav Nosson, is not mekudeshes. So I just explained to you the difference between the Tanakama, Rabbi Nosson, and Rabbi, and now the Gemara will say that inside. So either we go with the words ma'ika or not go with the words ma'ika, mean bein Tanakama, Rabbi Nosson, between the Tanakama's opinion, who says you're only mekadesh the woman if you do it for the future, ma'asha esa imach, that would be mekudeshes, but ma'asha asa, that's not mekudeshes. So Rabbi Nosson disagrees and says neither one of them is mekudeshes. So what's the reasoning? Bein Tanakama or Rabbi Nosson, ikar b'nayu schiris. They're arguing about yesh l'schiris mitchilu v'atzov. Tanakhama says that no, yesh l'schirus libesof, and therefore it's not a milva. Where Rabbi Nosson says yesh l'schirus mitzvah betzof, and therefore it's a milva, and you can't be mekadesh with a milva. And the difference between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda is between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is ikah benayo milva pruta. That question, okay, it's a milva, but he added an ofech. So according to Rabbi Nosson, big deal. The fact that you added an ofech, her mind is still adaita on the milva. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi says, no, when you have a milva and a pruta, daita on the pruta. So this is in accord with the way Rabbi explained the machlokes between the Chacham and Reb Meir, is exactly the way we explained some of the shitas in this brisa that parallels the machlokes of the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, specifically Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi. So Rabbi Nosson holds, like the opinion of the Chachamim, that in fact, daita on the milva and not on the pruta, whereas Rabbi holds like Reb Meir that the daita is on the pruta and not on the milva. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, tabach uman, if you have a professional shaychet, he's a tabach uman, and he unfortunately messes up, shekilkel, he messed up the shchita, and he therefore caused a financial loss, it's now a treifa, instead of it being a kosher animal, it's worth a lot less. So chay l'shalim. So Shmuel says that the professional tabach, the professional shaychet, is obligated to pay because he caused damage over here. And Shmuel added, masiku, he caused damage, posheyahu, he was negligent, and he adds on even further, nasika omelo, it's as if somebody said to the shaychet, shechot li mikan, shecht over here on the animal, v'shach lo mikan, and he shechted him someplace else where it's not a kosher shechita. Now, Shmuel is very verbose over here. So he's obviously coming to tell us something. He just didn't say chayiv l'shalim because he's a mazik. He added he's a posheya, and he said nasik omelo shchot lo li mikan, v'shach lo mikan. So he added all this extra stuff, which we'll see in a moment is very important. So Gemara asks, Lomale lemeimar maziku posheyahu, why did he add on that he's a posheya? Should have said he's a mazik, and that would have been enough. So Gemara says, because if you only had said he was a mazik, e omar maziku, if Shmuel had said the reason he's chayav tevez is because he's a mazik, you know what I would have said? Haba mina. I would have said, hani mili, that's true that he's chayav to pay, hechod de ko'ovid bischar. That's because he got paid for his work. And therefore, if he's paid for his work, he has a higher level of responsibility, and he has to pay for the damages. However, but if he was for slaughtering for free, he wasn't being paid, he was a nice guy, I'll do a mitzvah, I'll help you shecht your animal. So then, lo, then one might have said that he wouldn't have to go and pay. Therefore, Shmuel is teaching us, posheyahu, even though he is an expert shaychei, he's considered to be negligent, even when he's not being paid for his work, and he's going to be chayev to pay. So that's the chiddush of Shmuel telling us over here, not only is he a mazik, but he's also a posheya. Now, this is Shmuel's opinion, which he gave in a very definitive way by saying, mazikum posheyu, nasikum elo shchot li mikan, v'shach lo mikan. That was all Shmuel's statement. One of the Talmidim comes in and questions Shmuel. Eiser Rav Chama Bar Gurya l'Shmuel. Rav Chama Bar Gurya questions Shmuel and says, wait a second, there's a braisa that seems to go against you. The braisa says, Hanosein behem l'tabach, if you go give an animal to a butcher, a professional shaychet, the nivla, and he turned it into a nevela. He didn't shecht it properly, so the braisa says, uman is potter. However, hedjot is chayev. If he was really a professional shaychet, so then he's potter, even though he made it into a nevela. Whereas if the guy is a hedjot, he's not a professional, so then he would be chayev to pay, because he shouldn't have gone and shechted it. Now, the imnosein schar, but even the professional uman, if he was being paid for his work, bein hedjot, bein uman chayev, then he's going to be responsible whether he's an uman or he's a hedjot. Anybody who's being paid now is going to be liable. Now, the braisa clearly says that he would be potter if he didn't get paid, but Shmuel said that he is chayev even if he doesn't get paid. He says, even bechinam, you're going to be chayev. So, kasha from this price on Shmuel. So Shmuel's not happy with Rav Chama Bar Gurya. And he says to him in a very strong way, Amalei, lekar mochach, let your brain become scrambled. Rashi tells us that this lashon of lekar mochach means kamo mayim achurim. It should be like dirty, muddy water. Let your brain become muddied. Now, why was he so strict over here with him? So the more we'll explain in a second. This is a harsh language that Shmuel said to this person because he felt that this person really wasn't listening to him and was just asking a question without really listening to what Shmuel had said. Because Shmuel didn't just say he's chayiv. Shmuel said he's a maziku, posheyahu, nasikomeli, shchotli, mikan, v'shachalo mikan. He said all these extra things. So he felt that this person, Rav Chama Bar Gurya, should have realized that and not questioned him from this brisa, which we'll see in a moment why not. No, Rav Chama Bar Guria wasn't the only one who thought that Shmuel was wrong from this brisa, because also Halmi Rabbanon, another one of the rabbis, Kamosiv Lei, asked Shmuel the same exact question from this brisa. And Amalei, Shmuel said to him too, Hashta Shachlis Mai Deshakul Chavroch, you're going to get the same sort of response from me that Rav Chama Bar Guria got, Lekor Mochach, let your brain become scrambled, because Kamina Luchu Ano Rabbi Meir, because of my response, I clearly only said my statement according to the opinion of Meir. And you're bringing me this brisa, which is the opinion of the Chachamim. Become read the Rabbanan. And you're challenging me from a brisa, which is not Rav Meir. So I'm saying Rav Meir's din, and you're saying, but the Chachamim say otherwise, you're wrong. No, the Chachamim and Rav Meir have you on the machlokes. And you should have realized this, because Amailo Dayakto Mili, why weren't you looking at my response and thinking, instead of asking your question, thinking, why did Shmuel say all those extra words? If you had only realized that, then you wouldn't have been so quick to ask me your question. Because I had said, Shani Omer, Shmuel had said, Maziku, Posheyahu, Nasik Omelo, Shchotli Mikan, Shochalo Mikan. He added on all those extra words. Now, who is of the opinion, Man Islay Haisvara, that adds on all these extra words to teach us this din? Rav Meir, it is Rav Meir, the Omar Miboyle Lemirme Anavshe. He's dealing over here with Rav Meir's opinion. It says a person has to be very, very careful. If you're doing something, even if you're not getting paid, you have to be very, very careful. No, the Chachamim say, if you're not getting paid, well, you don't have the same level of responsibility. Whereas Rav Meir says, no, even if you're not getting paid, you have this higher level of responsibility. Now, where do we see Rav Meir saying this? That Shmuel says, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. And we'll give three possible suggestions. The third one will be the right one. The first two are going to be rejected. So, hi, Rav Meir. Which opinion of Rav Meir demonstrates, like Shmuel says, that a person, even if he's not being paid, if he's an expert, has to be very, very careful? So, hi, Rav Meir. Which one is it? Ilei moho, Rav Meir. If it's the following sheet of Rav Meir, and we give a simon over here, Kalan, Simon. This Kalan is the Rashi Tevos, the Kuf, the Lamed, and the Nun for the three answers that we're about to give. So the first one begins with a Kuf. The Tnan, this is a Mishnah that we had early in the Masechta on Daf Nen, Hey Omud Beis. It said over there, the Tnan, Kisharo Be'olo B'Mosera. If the owner tied up his ox with a proper type of a tie, a Mosera is like a rein, or the knob before the Kuroi, or he locked the door in a proper way. So this should have been an appropriate Shemirah. But nevertheless, the arts of Ezek, the animal went down and did damage. So the opinion of Remeir is, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, whether it was a Shor Tam, and certainly if it was a Shor Muad, so he is Chayav. This owner should have watched the animal more carefully. He can't say, well, I did a routine Shemirah, and therefore that's enough. No, he has to watch it more carefully. You're always held accountable. Divi Rav Meir. Oh, so let us suggest that this Rav Meir's opinion from Daf Mem Hei Omud Beis is in fact the opinion that says that this professional Shaychet should have been more careful, even though he was not Posheya, but he's considered as if he's Posheya if he's not extra careful. Oh, let us say this is the opinion of Rav Meir that Shmuel brought down. Shmuel says, no, that's not true, because Hossam on Daf Mem Hei Omud Beis Bikroi Plige. As Rashi points out, this was Gzeres HaKosafu, as we learned in Perek, Shor Shenogach, Arba V'Chamisha, and Daf Mem Hei Omud Beis, as the Bach adds. So therefore, that was a unique situation, and it can't be generalized to our situation of the Uman Tabach. So try again. Eloha Rav Meir. It's the following sheet of Rav Meir. Ditnan, this is a Mishnah that we will learn in Mirtz Hashem in tomorrow's shir. And the Mishnah there tells us, if a person gave over wool to the dyer, to the person who's going to color it, litzboa lo odom, to go and color it red. But by accident, utzivo shachar, he went and dyed it black. We had this a few days ago, and we're finally going to get to the original source in tomorrow's shir on Daf Kuf. Or, shachar, he gave it to him to dye it black, utzivo odom, and by accident, he dyed it red. So Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir's opinion is, no sein lo demei tzamro, you have to pay him for the wool. Now, isn't this, the person didn't do this on purpose, it was an accident, and yet we hold you to a higher standard, you have to go pay for ruining the wool. So therefore, this is the Rav Meir opinion that Shmuel is bringing down by the Uman Tabach, that he's held liable no matter what. Shmuel says, no, lav dafka, you can bring this aside from that, because maybe, hosam, biyodayim kilo mine. You know why over there? as Rashi says, Sheniskavin Lishanos. He did it intentionally. And therefore, when he went and ruined it, so he's held accountable for ruining the wool. And he can't get like off because he's a professional. And this is like sometimes it happens. No, he did it Niskavin Lishanos. He intentionally did it the wrong way. And therefore, he's held liable for anything that happens. So that's not the source for Shmuel of Rebeir. So finally, the Gemara says, Elohadra of Meir. This is the Shita of Rameir that we're talking about. Now, we have the Girsa Ditnan, but it really is a Brisa, and it should be Ditanya. As the Mesoros HaShas in Ozbov tells us. And this Brisa tells us, we have this early in the Masechta as well, Nishbara Kado Velo Silka. If a person had a broken pitcher, and he didn't remove it from the Rishus HaRabim, his pitcher broke, and he didn't remove it from the Rishus HaRabim, or Noflo Gimalo Velo Mida, or his camel fell down, and he didn't immediately pick it up. So Rav Meir Omer, Chaya bin Iskon. Rav Meir says, if somebody then stumbles on your cod, or somebody stumbles on your camel, you're going to be Chaya for any damages. Chacham say, no, the person can't be held fully accountable, because what was he supposed to do? And therefore, they hold that he's not fully accountable for falling. But Bidei Shemayim, if he wants to go, and Biyotze Min HaShemayim, so then he should pay them. But in the Beis Din, he's not held accountable. And the Gemara says, we're dealing there with the machlokes in Chacham Rameir, the Deniskal Posheyahu Plige. Whether the person who tripped and then the jug broke or the camel fell over him is considered a Posheya or not. So you see, the Rameir holds it, you're always held accountable. Even though it was inadvertent, but you're held accountable. So too, the Uman Tabach is always held accountable. And this is the Rav Meir that Shmuel brings down to tell us that the Uman Tabach is held accountable even if he's not being paid for his work. So that's Shmuel's opinion. Mar tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, Amar Yochanan, a Tabach Uman. You have this professional Shochei, Shekilkel, that messed up the Shechita, is also Chayev, seemingly just like Shmuel, va'afilu uman kitabachei tziporet. And if even he's as expert as the expert mumchim, the tabachim in tziporet, which are the standard to hold by, if you're an expert mumcha as a tabach like the tabachim in tziporet, so even such people are held accountable. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says in the name of Yochanan, exactly like Shmuel, that you're always held accountable. More questions. It says, "Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi." Did Rav Yochanan really say this? After all, for Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, "Uv Dahava Kamei Rav Yochanan." The one says, "A Ma'aser Shoyi in front of Rav Yochanan, Biknishta De Maon." Was in the base classes of Maon. It's a certain place. The Amar Le Rav Yochanan said to the Tabach Uman, "Zil Aisei Raya De Mamchis LeTarnegolim." Bring to me a raya that you are truly an expert. If you can show me you're an expert in regards to shechting small birds like tarnegolim, so then you're really an expert. It's actually harder to go and shecht the small birds than it is the larger animals. So if you can show me that you're an expert in shechting small birds, then the et torech. I will go and pot to you. You won't have to go and pay for this maisa shahaya that you caused a nevela when you shechted. So prove to me that you're an expert, and then you won't have to go and pay. So how can you tell me, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that afilu, if you're an expert uman, like the Tabachi Tzipare, that if you were kilkel, you're chayiv? Here he clearly said, if you can show to me that you're an expert, you're going to be potter. So it seems to be a steer, what Rabbi Yochanan says. He says, no, it's not a steer, lokasha, it depends. Kan bichinon, kan bisachar. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is different than what Shmuel said. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if you were not being paid, so then if you're an expert, then you're not going to have to pay. Shmuel said you have to pay even if you're not being paid. But Rabbi Yochanan says if you're an expert and you're not being paid, then you don't have to pay if you're damaged. But kan bisachar, in the first statement, the Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Yochanan that this Tabach Uman Shekilkel is Chayav, that's because he was being paid. And if you're being paid, you're held accountable no matter what. And this is in accord, Kihad Yomer Rav Zera. This is in accord with what Rav Zera said. What did Rav Zera say? Harotza she is Chayav lo Tabach. If you want to make sure that the butcher, who's the Shoychet for your animal, is going to be held accountable if he makes the animal into a treifa, into an avela, so go pay him. Yachtim lo dinar, give him a dinar. And this way, he's considered to be paid, and therefore, he's going to be held liable for anything that happens. So therefore, you clearly see that Rav Zera and this explanation of Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Rav Yochanan differentiates between the Uman who's being paid and the Uman who's not being paid. More questions this, however. Meisvei hamolech chitim letochon. If you go give wheat to a person who grinds the wheat up to go and grind it up for you, but he made a mistake, below the sauson, he didn't go and wet it, you will not get such pure flour because the shell won't come off easily unless you wet it. So he forgot to wet it, and vason subin or morsin, and some of it came out subin, which is very coarse flour, and some of it came out morsin, which is much finer flour. Or you gave kemach lenachtum, you gave flour over here to a professional baker. However, he didn't do a good job. Vaso pas nipulin. And he made bread for you that falls apart, it crumbles. Rashi says, nishbar v'nofel kish oxen or so. It doesn't stay all in one piece, it breaks apart and crumbles. Or you give a behema letabok, you give the behema to an expert, shochet the nivla, and he made it into a nevela. In all of these situations, the b'risa says, yechayev. Why? Because he's like a person who took money. In other words, the Braisa seems to say that he didn't take money and yet he's chayiv. So kasha on Rav Yochanan, kasha on the way the Rav Zeira explained Rav Yochanan as well. So Gemara says, no, not a kasha. Ema mipnei shehu no seisachar. The only reason the Braisa says you're chayiv in all of these situations was because you did take money. And therefore, if you take money, you held to a higher standard. But Taka, Rav Zeira, Rav Yochanan, they hold that if you didn't take money, then you're not held to the higher standard. Mara now gives us another Maisa Shahaya, and we have to know what the word Hagrama is. Now, we are going to learn, when we learn, we get to Chulin, there are different opinions of what Hagrama is, and the more standard opinion is that when you shecht, you start off shechting in the right place, and you end up going outside the right place. But here, we're talking about, Rashi explains Hagrama is when you go and shecht shochat mitoch achas hatabos. You shecht it within one of the tracheal rings where it's a kosher place to go and shecht. The higrim, and you slanted chutz outside of that ring, bein tabas l'tabas, but within another kosher area of shechting. The shir melochut al pnei ruba. And you didn't shecht fully through the first time, you had left enough that now when you're going to shecht in the other ring, you finish off the shechita. So this is a machlokis. Rav Yosef Yehuda mechashalei b'mlo hachut, since you shechted the majority at least properly, so therefore Rav Yosef Yehuda says that's good, even though you went into another ring to finish off the shechita. Rabbanan bo al pnei kula. And the Chacham Mishit is, no, it all has to be within one ring, and if you did Hagrama, meaning into another ring, albeit within a kosher area of shechting, the Chachamim would say that this is no good, this is Hagrama. So that's our understanding of Hagrama over here. As I said, in the Mar Chulin, Rashi doesn't like this pshat. He brings this pshat and he says, I don't like it. And Rashi over there says, the Hagrama is outside the kosher area to go and shecht. In any event, right now, let's keep it within the Rashi that we have over here, as I just read, how magrumta the asoy lekamei derav. There was a maisa shoya where the shochet shechted this way of hagrama, which Rav Yosi Rehuda says is good, but the chachamim say it's no good. Now, we have the paskin, like Rav Yosi Rehuda, over the chachamim in this situation. So the shechita is considered a valid shechita, halach lemaisa. However, Rav Paskin Tarfei, he said, no, it's treifa. He Paskin like the Chachamim. However, also, Upatri Litaboch Milatashlume Dmei. But he didn't make the Shaychet pay for it. Now, that was Rav's Psak Halach. We'll have to understand it in a moment. Meanwhile, the person who owned this animal that was Shechted, and that Rav Paskin is now a treifa, but the Shaychet didn't have to pay you for damaging it, making it into a treifa. So this owner, Pogubei Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi Balgabra. So the owner of this animal, that he met up with Rav Kahana Rav Asi, and they told him, Amulei Ovid Boch Rav Tarti. Rav did two things to you. Now, on the surface, it looks like Rav did two bad things to him. Number one, he made it into a treifa. And number two, he didn't make the shochet have to pay for it. The Gemara said that can't be what he was talking about. And it starts off my tarti. What two things did Rav Kahana and Rav Asi say that Rav did? So if you're going to tell me, Ilema tarti legriusa, that they Rav hurt this guy, that can't be. But it sounds like that's what it was. Number one, he should have paskin like the way we do, halach lamaisa, like Rav Yosef Yehuda, to say that it's not a treifa. And he paskin instead like the Rabbanan, the tarti kid Rabbanan. So that seems to be the number one thing that Rav did to him wrong, legriusa. And even the Nami Kerabonin, and even if you wanted to pass it like the Rabbanan, that it's a treifa, so the boy lay chiyuva le tabcha. He should have made the tabach responsible. After all, he messed up. So therefore, he should be held responsible. So on the surface, it looks like Rav did two bad things to this guy. But the Gemara says, "Umi shori lemeimer ki hai gabna." How is it possible that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi would say this about Rav to this guy? Number one, we learn in the following brayse v'tanya l'chashiyetze, when a judge comes out of an adjudication. So there are three judges. So one judge, let's say, paskin that the guy doesn't owe the money. The other two judges paskin that the guy does own the money. So therefore, the base of paskin said Reuven owes Shimon the money. So the judge who paskin that Reuven doesn't owe Shimon the money should not leave the basin and go to Reuven and tell him, "Sorry, Charlie, the other two guys made you pay, but not me." L'chashiyetze lo yomar, the judge who paskin that Reuven doesn't owe Shimon the money shouldn't go over to Reuven and say, "Ani mezaka, I was the one that said you didn't owe the money. But it was my other two colleagues on the base then who said that you owe the money. You're not allowed to do that." And he shouldn't go and do this and say, "Avo ma'asesh, chaveri rabu alai. What can I do? Two against one." And if somebody does this, I'll say, "Nemar, holich rochil megalasot." Such a person is considered a rochel. He's saying rechilus over here, and he's megalasot. He's revealing a secret. You're not allowed to do this. They're based in paskins, and their internal workings are not to be made public. So therefore, there's no way Rav Asi or Rav Kahana would have, so to say, tattletaled on Rav and said that Rav did something bad to you. So therefore, the Gemara says, Elatayti lemaliusa. Rav Asi and Rav Kahana went over to this person and said, "Rav did two very good things for you. Number one, the lo uchlach sofek isura. He paskined over here like the Chachamim that it's not kosher. He could have paskined like Rav Yosef Yehuda and said it was kosher, but he wasn't sure that that's the halacha. He felt that the Rabbanim could be correct. And therefore, he did you a big favor in that he didn't say it was kosher and you might be eating treif." That's number one. And number two, Umanoch misofik izela. He didn't paskin that this shochet should have to pay you for messing up. Because guess what? Maybe he didn't mess up. Maybe the halacha is really a cross of Yehuda. And he therefore didn't mess up. And it was a perfectly good shechita. And now if you take money from him, you're actually stealing from him. And therefore, Rav did two favors for you. That he did make it treifa, because he wanted to prevent you from eating sofik treifa. And he didn't want you to have money that was ill-gotten. So therefore, he didn't make the tabach have to go and pay you. And therefore, Rav did you a favor. Two things he did. That's what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to that person. Ketamara continues and says, "Itmar, we learn in the base medrash, Hamara dinar l'shulchani. If a person shows a coin to a professional money changer and asks him, 'Is this a good coin? Is this legal tender or not?' And the money changer said, 'Yes, it's legal tender.' And then the next day, the guy tries, he accepts that coin and he tries to use it, v'nimsarah, and he can't use it. Nobody's willing to accept it. It's not legal tender. So what's the psak halacha? Is the money changer, the expert who said that it's legal tender, chayav or not? So tani chada uman pater, the hedjot chayav, the tani idach, ben uman, ben hedjot chayav. So we have one brisa, the first brisa that says, the uman is pater. He's a professional money changer, and therefore he's not held liable. And a hedjot, a person who's not a professional, yeah, you shouldn't give him advice, and therefore you're held liable. Whereas the other brisa says, whether you're a professional or not, you're going to be chayav. And even the professional is going to be chayiv. So what's going on? The two prices are in contradiction to each other. So I'm a papa, it's not a stira. Ki tanya uman potter, the first price that it says that the professional money changer is potter, that's if kigon, if he's such a professional expert like Danku, the Isur. These are the names of two people. Rashi has the name, instead of Danku, Rashi has the name Danki, the Isur. These are shulchanim, these are professional money changers. They're the best of the best. And if you're as expert as they are, then the lo tzriche lemigmar klal, there's nothing more you can learn about money changing. You know everything. So therefore, if you paskin that it was good, and it turns out that it wasn't good, you're not held accountable. Because you're at the top of the game. And therefore, any mistake that you made is not considered to be your fault. No, Gemara says, Elab Maitol. How do they make the mistake? V'nim Sorah. So if they're so expert, so then how could somebody who's on the level of Danku or Danki and Isser make a mistake? So Gemara says, because it was a brand new coin. To, they made the mistake because this person made the mistake in this situation. B'siksa Charita. It was a brand new coin. Dahi Shaita. That very moment, the Nafach Mitusei Siksa. That very moment, it came out from the mint. And therefore, even experts like them are not yet used to such a coin, and therefore they could make a mistake as well. But since they're such experts, so the first price it says, their uman on that level, they're held potter even in this situation. Another maisha saw your hay itza. There was a woman, the achzaya dinar of Rabbi Chiya, who showed a dinar, a coin, to Rabbi Chiya and asked him, "Is this in fact a valid legal tender?" And he said, "Yeah, amalah ma'ayahu, absolutely fine." The next day, she tries to use the coin, and she can't use it. Everybody says, no, it's not legal tender. The next day, after she couldn't use it, she comes back to Ruchia and tells him, listen, I showed it to a number of people. They said, it's not a good coin. It's a bad coin. It's not legal tender. Nobody's willing to take it. And I'm stuck now. So Ruchia tells his nephew Rav, Rashi says that Rav was in charge of his finances, and Ruchia tells Rav, go and give her a good coin for the bad coin that she has, and write down, uksov apinkasi, and write down in my books, Dain Asik Bish. This was a mistake. I shouldn't have passed this over here, and it was because I was a little bit lackadaisical over here, and I passed this, and I shouldn't have, that I'm held accountable. Now, Gemara says, wait a second. Ruchia certainly was an expert, or else he wouldn't have paskin this, so he was certainly on the level of Danku or Danki and Iser. Umayshno Danku the Iser, if they would be potter, so why wasn't Ruchia potter? The Ptiri Mishum Delo Tzrich LeMigbar, since Danku or Danki and Iser were at the top of their game, there's nothing more they could have learned, and therefore they're potter, so Ruchia also, Ruchia Nami, Lab LeMigbar Koboy. He was also at the top of the game. So why did he go and say to Rav, go give her a coin and I'm going to help be held liable? So the Gemara answers, because Rav Chiya lifnei mishura sadin hudiyava. He went above and beyond the letter of the law. He said, yeah, min hadin, I'm potter because I'm an expert. However, I would rather go lifnei mishura sadin and pay this woman rather than make her absorb the loss. I'm going to go lift the Mishur Sadin and absorb the loss myself. And this is in accord, Kidatani Rav Yosef. This is in accord with Rav Yosef taught in the following Brisa. The entire Pasuk is from this week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisro, where it says, Viz'arto Esem, Yisro goes and tells Moshe, go and advise all the people about Eshachukim, the Eshatoros, V'hodatim lohem Eshaderech Yelchubo, and teach them the right way to go and act, and what they should do. So now, in this brisa, it darshens the words of this pasuk in the following way. When it says, Vodat Elohim, and you shall make known to them, this is a reference to, and we turn to Daf Kuv, Zeh Beis Chayehem. Rashi says, this means Talmud Torah, that this is talking about, you should learn Torah. Es HaDerech, what's that? It's a reference to Zug Milus Chasodim, that you should go and do all sorts of chesed. Yelchu, what does that mean? Zubikur Cholim. You should follow and emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should do Bikur Cholim. And when it says Ba, this is a reference to Zukvura. Don't say, as Rashi points out, that somebody's below my dignity to go and help over here. No. Go and be Metapo, Ukvura, Bezokim, the Eino Lefi Kvodo. You should still go, Afil Hochi Chayiv. Even though you say, well, it's not worth it for me. I'm such an important person, and for me to go and dig in the grave, it's not right. No, go and do that. When it says that's a maisa, that refers to zehadin. A person should be a dayan. And ashiyasun is ulifnei mishur sadin. If you made an error in judgment, even though technically you're not liable because you're a mumcha, nevertheless, go and make it up. Go lifnei mishur sadin. And that's exactly what Rav Chiya did. He followed this advice of this brisa that Rav Yosef taught, and he paid the woman this issa, so he paid her the money that technically he didn't have to, but he did it lifnei mishur sadin. With this, we conclude today's shiur.